I can offer explanations, and I do. Welcome to More Than Money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor, live this Saturday morning. Happy to be with you. Happy to be inside. It's raining out there. Dan Holzman says it sounds like it's going to clear up a little bit later, and it's going to be a mild evening, and then tomorrow in the 80s. So to my bride, who's not listening, she's working out right now at the studio. But if she listens later, my apologies, because she was asking about temperatures for today. We over dinner last night, and I said, I thought I heard it's going to be in the 80s. Yeah, I only missed that by 20 degrees. It's going to be in the 80s tomorrow. There's something really rare, a husband making an error. Oh, that never happens. 610-720-7900, Gene at AskMTM.com, MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. Lots going on. Just a couple brief updates for folks who are just joining us, and we welcome new listeners throughout our show. A very sincere thank you to all of you who sent such nice, many of you sent notes, many of you sent cards, many of you sent emails. With very warm wishes and kind prayers for our daughter Alyssa, who graduated last Saturday from Lebanon Valley College, along with, now of course there were hundreds of kids there, and we certainly don't know even a small fraction of them, but the kids that we do know, oof, these are some wonderful, wonderful young people. Smart, talented, ambitious, hardworking. I've said it a fair number of times, and now I will say it publicly on air. I could list off, if you were with us in the first hour, you know that we had a great afternoon sharing a celebration with four families. Our family, Tilly, Kelly, three just wonderful young women, just fantastic. All fortunately with wonderful families, so that they certainly don't need Gene to adopt them, but I would in a heartbeat. And the list just starts there. I mean, she has made such wonderful friends. And again, I've said it in private. I'll say it publicly. There's probably a dozen young women, out there, and, we'd adopt every one of them. And if we don't have enough room yet, we'll build an addition, because that's how wonderful they truly are, and what a wonderful blessing they have been in Alyssa's life, no question about that, but in our lives as well. Because it's, as many of you know, you know just as well as I, that when you drop your child off at college and you're driving away, you're going, oh, I just pray for them. I just hope they're not homesick. I hope they're not sad. I hope they're not unhappy. I want them, as we all do, we want our kids to be happy and productive and terrific. And then you find out that not only are they not homesick, they're not sad, they're not depressed. They're wonderful, because they've been blessed to be surrounded by these other wonderful, wonderful young people who care about them, and have now 4 years later, 4 years later in a blink, 4 years in a blink, those wonderful, wonderful relationships they will have for a lifetime. What a great blessing. So thanks to all of you. Newsletter is out. If you're not yet receiving our newsletter, you absolutely should. It's free. It covers a tremendous amount of detail about questions that may very well apply to you or someone you care about, because as the heading says, it's real life questions and real world answers. We're not interested in just prattling on and on about something theoretical. We don't go into, the number crunching stuff. What we're really into is answering questions that for lots of folks are very, very important in their lives, and we hope we help. We hope we help. So all you have to do is ask Gene@AskMTM.com, and we'll get that to you. Golf season may never become a reality. I'm just being as honest as I can be. I think it's going to rain forever, and I'm a little sad. No, I'm kidding. Come on. So eventually, we're going to be playing some golf out there. I have two requests for the folks who are listening. If you are a golfer, and you might be interested in enduring 4 or 5 hours of golf with Gene, and perhaps one or two of his friends, please send me an email, gene@askmtm.com. We want to kind of get a roster of folks that as opportunities pop up that we can give a call to and invite to come and endure us. And if you have a golf tournament, particularly ones we're most attracted to those who are charitable golf tournaments, fundraising golf tournaments for good causes. We'd like to know about that. We've got, I think, four already on the schedule for the summer. The Love Ren Red Foundation is coming up second Monday, I believe, in June. I'm hopeful that we get Bill Wright in here, and we'll talk about that and let you know that we'll be there. We've got a foursome put together that my friend Jared assures me that he's bringing us a ringer, and that we're going to just clean up. Actually, he has said nothing of the sort. I just thought I'd put him on the spot for a second. We played last year in the inaugural tournament, had a great time. It's a great organization, and that's I enjoy golf. I love playing golf. We have great time out there, whether it's just, you know, one friend and I out there, you know, playing 18 holes in 3 hours and flying around the course, or whether it's a fundraiser. But when it's a fundraiser and you know that you're spending a couple dollars and you're really helping, you're making an impact, it makes the game so much more fun. It certainly does for me. 610-720-7900. So again, if you're a golfer and may wish to subject yourself to torture, or if you have a golf tournament or aware of a charity golf tournament, just send me an email, gene@askmtm.com. Before the break, we were talking about folks, a young lady who had approached me saying, hey, looks like I'm going to have to take over mom's finances. What are some of the most important things that I need to know? The first of which we talked about before the break was the durable power of attorney, a POA. Again, we suggest that you work with an appropriate and trusted attorney to draft that document. It should only cost a couple $100. This is not, you know, like a $5,000 event. This is a $200 event or a $250 event to draft a power of attorney that will do what needs to be done so you can do all those kinds of things that you may wish to do. Sign tax returns. That's very important, of course. Writing out checks for bills, handling credit cards, managing investments, all those kinds of things with the proper power of attorney, you can certainly do that. Now, the rules for powers of attorney are different state to state. And since we are a coast-to-coast radio show, if you are listening in California, if you're listening in Florida, South Carolina, you've got to be very, very careful. Make sure, that, again, that you're dealing with a trusted attorney so that you're getting all the details, all the appropriate rules and regulations are taken care of. A healthcare power of attorney, which should be separate, is in almost every case is separate, is another item that you will want to work with. Sometimes referred to as a living will or a healthcare directive. It allows you to speak on behalf of, in this case, her mom, if that is necessary. It's sometimes getting a parent or someone that you care about's finances in order requires a bit of detective work. It's not unusual that if somebody has started to have some slippage, for lack of a better term, that their finances are very disorganized. We have heard many stories of adult children showing up at mom or dad's house and kind of leafing through the mail and finding checks that had never been opened, or checks in a stack of things to be thrown away, or important mail kind of filtered in with magazines and silliness. So be aware that you may have to do a little bit of of tidying up a little bit of organizational work. And the last two things that you need to know is that if you have a power of attorney, it does not help relative to either Social Security or veterans benefits. Social Security will not accept a POA. You must be named a representative payee. And in order to do that, you have to complete form SSA 11, and you have to apply in person at an SSA office. And veteran benefits, you have to be a VA fiduciary. So there are, at least if you're dealing with Social Security and veterans benefits, you've got to have one more step in the process, one more step. Lots of information. Hopefully that helps a little tiny bit. 610-720-7900. We go to the phones. We talk to Elizabeth. Good morning.
Good morning, Gene. I missed you last week. I wanted to call you last week.
You're very kind. Thank you. How may we serve you?
Yes. I have a question about the new tax law.
Sure.
I saw in one source it says that the new standard deduction for a married couple is $24,000.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're married and over 65, it's $26,000.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's because you don't get the, you don't have the benefit of the deduction from your paycheck.
Correct.
That they do that.
Mm-hmm.
But now I got a letter from a lawyer and he mentioned the $24,000, but didn't mention the $26,000. And I thought, this man should know that in the letter. Now, am I wrong or is he wrong?
No, I believe you're correct, and I haven't seen the letter, so he may have been speaking in kind of generalities, general terms, because in general, married couples receive a $24,000 standard deduction. The $2,000 bump for seniors 65 and over, the $1,000 per is not technically part of the standard deduction. So while you and I would absolutely look at that and go, if we're 65 and older, it's $26,000. It technically, for IRS purposes, the standard deduction is $24,000, and you're getting an allowance for being 65 and over. So his phraseology, I would cut him some slack and say that technically that is correct. And again, I don't know the intent of the letter, so he may not be trying to be completely comprehensive. It may just be suggestions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, there's no extra allowance for charities or anything of that.
No extra. So the only time that you're going to get a charitable deduction or a deduction for perhaps home mortgage interest or medical expenses is if they are extraordinary to the point where they're above $24,000. So some folks have misinterpreted the new law to say that they can no longer itemize. That's not true. It simply isn't true. But in order for itemization to be of any value, the total of your Schedule A deductions has to be above $24,000, or you're better off taking the standard deduction. And of course, it's also a whole lot less work.
Yes, I've been looking forward to this day.
and bless you. And my wife, as the head of our tax department, has been looking forward to this day as well, because there's lots and lots of folks who are very kind and they permit us to do their tax returns, who in 2018 likely won't need to, because
right.
It becomes so simple.
Right now, as far as the medical deduction,
mm-hmm.
Now that's changed too.
It has a bit, but not very much. If you are familiar with the former rules, they're fundamentally the same. This year, the floor is a little lower. But again, the same issue arises. Unless you have extraordinary medical deductions, your standard deduction is likely to cover it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It was such a little bit of change. Am I reading this right?
You're absolutely right. It was a small change, but for most folks, it won't apply. It won't matter anyway.
Right. Okay. Well, let's pray that we don't have medical deductions that we have to.
That's exactly right. I'd far rather have good health and lower tax deductions any day. Elizabeth,
right.
Thank you so much for the phone call.
Thank you.
And God bless. 610-720-7900, Gene at AskMTM.com, MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. Gentleman writes, my wife and I have approximately $800,000 in our 401ks. We expect to retire in a year or so. We have been advised to take all of our money out of our 401ks and put it into fixed indexed annuities. Is this good advice? Not likely. Well, good advice for whom? For the fixed indexed annuity salesman?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Then it's great advice. I'm sorry. I just needed to clarify that for a moment. I didn't realize we were putting the salesman's interest ahead of our own. Depending on the contract, the company, the annuity company that the salesman is representing, the annuity salesman, as we speak, is literally on his hands and knees praying to whatever God he prays to or she prays to, that you don't ask this question of anyone else. Because if you simply nod and say, okay, his paycheck, once the ink is dry, could approach $80,000. Let that sink in for a second. So what possible motivation could a salesman have to give you advice that may not be exactly in your best interest? Huh. How about a paycheck of $80,000? Now, sadly, here's where it gets a little bit muddy. Does that mean you shouldn't use any fixed indexed annuities? No, doesn't mean that at all. It means that anytime we're dealing with a sum of money this large, and anytime a salesman recommends 100% of your money to go into a single investment, it's got to raise a red flag. Dealing with a salesman on any level has to raise a red flag. Why would you, since they're readily available, why would you not choose a fiduciary? Why would you not choose a financial advisor that is legally bound, ethically, morally, legally bound to act in your best interest? And is it in your best interest to have all of your money tied up for years and years and years? And is it in your best interest for a salesman to earn an $80,000 commission? All at the same time, I can't confirm this, of course. I can only suspect he or she is telling you that there are no fees. There's no fees. There's no cost involved. Huh. Did you want to talk about the $80,000? Sadly, salesmen are not required to talk about the $80,000. That to me is close to insanity. A fiduciary is absolutely required. Fortunately, More Than Money advisors are fiduciaries. Fortunately, More Than Money advisors also have access through our partnership with Ash Brokerage to an entire menu of fixed indexed annuities. Many different companies, all highly rated, many different contracts, all thoroughly investigated. However, all of that having been said, the first thing that you need to know about fixed indexed annuities is, despite what the salesman has said, they are not simple. They are not without cost. The regulators that protect consumers around these issues refer to annuities in general, and particularly fixed indexed annuities, as very complex, very complicated, and they require some very, very serious evaluation. So is it likely that you should take every penny that you and your wife have in your 401ks and put it into a fixed indexed annuity? No. Goodness, no. That simply makes no sense. 610-720-7900. Gene@askmtm.com. Morethanmoneyonline.com. 3 minutes or so? A little more? Yeah. Thank you, sir. Because this follows on the fiduciary in this edition of Bottom Line, which is Bottom Line Personal, which is, I think, a very, very interesting publication. They always have every issue. It comes out every 2 weeks. Every issue, there's something in there that I go, get the heck out. It's that cool. Some of them are very financial. Some of them are very personal. Very interesting. However, this summary comes from MarketWatch.com, and it tells us that you should beware of financial advisors taking advantage of the ups and downs of the markets to promote themselves. They are often reaching out either through email campaigns, radio commercials, or TV commercials, appealing to the fear that people have. And if that is the case, as you hear a promotion, whether it be you got a letter in the mail, you got an email through a campaign, you're hearing a radio show, a radio promotion, or a TV promotion, if the advisor is appealing to your fear, they should be avoided. This is coming from MarketWatch. Advisors who are registered with state regulators, that's the Department of Banking, DOBS, Department of Banking and Securities in the state of Pennsylvania, or the SEC, the registered investment advisors who are larger, More Than Money falls into that category, is registered with the SEC. It's a national registration. Must, by law, operate in good faith and keep their clients' needs foremost. When considering a financial advisor, only accept one that is a fiduciary. So, salesman, not so much. Fiduciary, not in their vocabulary. We've recently run into a local firm who is laying claim to being both a fiduciary and not a fiduciary. Yeah, it's a rather interesting claim that I have not seen up to this point. They claim that as registered investment advisors, they're fiduciaries, but under the same roof, they have a separate company where they are salesmen of annuities and insurance products. So apparently, I don't know if they actually have hats where one says fiduciary and one says not, and they have to whip them around. I don't know. But they're making claim that we're a fiduciary, you know, sometimes. I'm here to act on your behalf, you know, sometimes. Oh, goodness. We got to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we do not have 30 minutes when we come back. When we come back, we're going to have 19 and a half minutes because we got some great music for you at the top of the hour. So we want to answer your questions as quickly as we can. 610-720-7900. Send me an email, gene@askmtm.com, and we'll answer your questions after this on More Than Money. I can. Welcome back to More Than Money. You've got explanations galore. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor. I did that okay, right? You didn't have to run through that twice, did you?
Almost.
Poor John. John has the added stress of trying to keep both Gene and Bobby Gunther Walsh kind of on separate sides of the coin here because we're always hanging. It's great fun. Great, great fun. It's great fun being with you. It's great fun answering your questions on a Saturday morning, and we can be of service. We would absolutely love to do that. 610-720-7900. Please call or ask your question by email, gene@askmtm.com. And we're happy to do exactly that. We have roughly 20 minutes left in this edition of More Than Money. Our final segment's always a little shorter because we offer a little bit of music. And today's offering, Here Comes the Sun. It's actually more of a prayer. It's, you know, you got to think positive thoughts. And I'm positive I would like to see the sun. We saw some sun yesterday. It was pretty decent. That was pretty nice. And let's see, that's one time in 9 days. So, I mean, come on, let's not get greedy. 610-720-7900. Young lady writes, in the near future, we'll be receiving an award from a lawsuit. What's the best way to handle such a large sum of money? And also, will we need to pay taxes on that money? Your advice is invaluable to us. Thank you for your expertise in this matter. And sincerely, very, very kind. Very, very nice. Most lawsuit awards are not taxable, not income taxable. I say most. There are exceptions. So it is very, very important that this young lady counsel with a trusted tax advisor, either an enrolled agent, a CPA, or a financial advisor, to determine specifically whether these proceeds are taxable or not. But if she wants to lean a certain direction in her planning, she can certainly lean towards the idea that if John leans anymore, he'll be on the floor. Hey, it's been a long day. I know, it's 9:35. It's already been a long day. In all probability, they are tax-free. Now, what's the best way to handle such a large sum of money? We haven't trotted this answer out in a while. It depends. Oh, it absolutely does depend. It depends on so many factors that it's really very, very difficult to add any value or offer you any value here on the air. Because there are so many variables, and this might be a good example or a good opportunity to demonstrate one of the primary values of having a trusted financial advisor. Because of the literally thousands of options that could absolutely boggle the mind if you're sitting going, I'm going to have some money and how do I invest it? How do you even start? Because there's just too many to pick from. There really isn't. And here's why. If you have a trusted advisor guiding you with the appropriate questions. So, for example, are you retired and do you need an income? Yes. Okay. There's probably 90% of the investment options are out the window. We have just sliced this down to a much more reasonable number. The answer is no, I'm 25 years old. I'm not retired. I don't need the income. There's the opposite end. There's probably 80 or 90% of the investments that have been sliced out because they're not appropriate for somebody who's 25 and wants to put the money away for 40 years. So it depends is the only answer that makes any sense. And it depends on you. It depends on your financial goals. It depends on your financial situation. Let me give you an example of where the best investment potentially is not an investment at all. Huh, what could that be? Actually, I'll give you two. Let's go back to somebody who's, say, we're 25 years old. We're out of college. We've got college loans totaling $38,000. Not an unusual circumstance. And the proceeds here happen to be, whoa, how crazy is that? $38,000. Is it best to keep paying on your loans, or is it best to and then invest the money somewhere else, or is it best to pay off the loans? Thank you, sir. Well, the answer is, again, it depends. It depends very much on the person. Me personally, I'd be leaning towards paying off those loans. How much fun would that be to not have to make those checks, write out those checks every month? How fun would that be to kind of wipe that slate clean? Years and years and years before you thought that was ever possible. My opinion, that might be a good way to go. So it's not really an investment, but it is. Here's another situation where an investment isn't really an investment. What if you're 25 years old? You don't have any particular debt. Your student loans were taken care of, or you worked your way through school, and everything's under control. And same $38,000. But your real goal, your number one goal right this moment, is buying a home. So you would find that $38,000 very helpful for a down payment. Yeah, that's where you want to put that's not an investment. It's called the bank, or a credit union, or even as silly as a cookie jar. You want to put it someplace absolutely safe. Hey, I'm going to buy a house sometime between now and the end of the year. Oh my gosh, please do not invest that money. Because just about the time you're about like 3 days from settlement and you need the money, you say, I'll just leave it in the stock market 3 more days. And the stock market drops 20% and your $38,000 loses $6,000 or $7,000, and your heart stops. And your Depends undergarments become very, very useful. No, you don't do that. That makes no sense. Wise financial decision, safe, secure. So a couple examples. So for this young lady, the advice, what do we do, is you sit first with a trusted financial advisor, answer a bunch of questions. People are often surprised how quickly that can be done. We often will have folks come through the door and go, we are overwhelmed. We would love to think we can retire, but we have no idea how to even kind of get, and we're overwhelmed, and their heads are about ready to pop right off their shoulders. And 25 minutes later, because the questions are actually fairly logical, whether it's about retirement, about buying your own home, about becoming wealthy, about whatever the financial questions are, they're actually, if you've got 780 years of experience, they're fairly straightforward and great fun. It's great fun. Okay. Next email. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. A gentleman writes, I retired from a company after working 32 years for the same company. For the younger generation, I'm guessing that's probably never going to happen again. Mostly because you're going to be changing jobs. But to be fair, I'm not sure there's many companies that are around today that are going to be around in 32 years. In the old days, the Bethlehem Steel days, the heyday of Mack Trucks and PPL, companies existed for 100 years, 150 years. So to work for the same company for 32 years made all the sense in the world. So Bethlehem's, okay, that one's gone, sorry. And of course, PPL is very different than it was before. And Air Products has some different leanings. A lot of folks who used to be Air Products are no longer Air Products. What is it, Versum? Okay, 56 years old when I retired. I took a year off, so I went to work at another company. I've been there for 8 years now, so that would make him 64. I put money in a Roth IRA. Was wondering if I took the money out of the Roth, is there any consequence? I have some things I need to get done around the house. I believe it says you need at least to be 55 and be in the Roth at least 5 years to access it. My thinking is that they tax the money going in, so they don't tax it coming out. Is that correct? And does it put you in a higher tax bracket? ? There's probably some drawback, but I don't know if there is. I kind of just started this to get the company match. Good for you. But the match is in a traditional IRA, and I would be leaving that alone. Your thoughts, please. First of all, very interesting question. Worked for a company for 32 years, which meant likely had a pretty substantial 401k. Has been working now for 8 years in a different company. He mentions a Roth IRA, and then he throws me a curveball at the end where he says he started this to get the company match. Company does not match a Roth IRA. Company does potentially match a 401k. And then this gentleman's question makes a great deal of sense. Because he's absolutely correct. If you put money into a 401k, the company match is never placed in the Roth 401k. So let me give you some real numbers here just as a demonstration. Let's assume for a second the gentleman is making $50,000 a year. Assume for a second that he puts 20% of his income in. That's $10,000 a year. Let's assume for a second that he has elected the Roth 401k option, meaning he has paid tax year by year by year as that money has gone in. The company match, let's assume for a second, is $4,000 a year. So now that he's 8 years in, he has put in $80,000 in a Roth 401k. He has gotten no tax deductions for doing it. He will pay no income tax when he pulls it out. That's a good thing. But he's absolutely correct that the money, the $4,000 a year, roughly $32,000 that the company has put in, is not in the Roth. It's in a standard 401k. So that kind of makes sense. Now, whether it's in an IRA or a 401k does make some difference, because if it's in a 401k, even though he's 64 years old, well beyond the 59 and a half minimum, many 401ks have rules about how to get money out. Some allow you to borrow only. Some allow you to withdraw only. Some have different restrictions and requirements. So he's going to have to consult with his 401k administrator. That might be within his company if it's a relatively larger company. It may be somebody outside his company if it's relatively smaller. But he has to consult with the 401k administrator. Let's assume for a moment that he can withdraw funds. His interpretation of the Roth rules is correct. If you've been in the plan at least 5 years, and you are beyond age 59 and a half, you can withdraw from the plan income tax-free, penalty-free. So pretty cool thing. Depending on the amount of dollars he needs to withdraw, could be a perfectly reasonable thing to do if it's a relatively modest sum of money. Now, I say could be, because there are at least one or two situations that would cause me to say, please don't do that. I'll give you an example of one. If this gentleman has children that he is hopeful will receive a legacy from him, some part of his estate that they will benefit from, Roth IRAs are a wonderful legacy. Because he has paid no, he would pay no income tax if the money came out. But if he allows that money to pass to his children, it will continue to compound for many more years, and they will pay no income tax. That's a very, very powerful legacy. So he may wish, he absolutely may wish to withdraw the money. Or he may wish to see if that can be a much more powerful legacy for his children. One other thing he might consider, if he's been funding his Roth 401k at a fairly high level, since it's not deductible, his income tax bill won't change if he decides not to fund it. So let's say, just again, for example, $50,000 a year. He's been putting $10,000 a year in his Roth 401k, and he has repair work at home totaling, amazingly, $10,000. He might consider simply discontinuing putting money in the Roth 401k for a year. Keep the money in his pocket, take that $10,000 and pay for the repairs. Another alternative. Obviously, we don't have enough information to get precise and tell him exactly what to do, but he's got a very interesting circumstance and lots of different options. And hopefully we help just a little bit. 610-720-7900. Gene at askmtm.com. 5 minutes or so left in this edition of More Than Money. So if you have that opportunity, 610-720-7900. There's an interesting term when investing in the stock market that some folks are familiar with, many are not. It's called defensive investing. Defensive investing. And for what most of us would term conservative reasons or cautious reasons, there are situations where you might look at the stock market and say, it's a little spooky. I would say the first 4 or 5 months of this year would kind of qualify of it's been a little spooky. The fact that we've had rather substantial increases in the market for so many years creates another level, another layer of spooky. By the way, if you go through the advanced finance programs, you'll find spooky as a very specific reference to markets that are unsettled and high in volatility. For a lot of folks, they think that being in the stock market is a homogenous experience. You're either in the stock market or you're out. And if you're in, there's a certain level of risk that's the same for being in all stocks. Nothing could be further from the truth. So if you are wishing to continue to be invested in the stock market, but you are wishing to access as best as you are able, some of the most conservative, in this case referred to as most defensive, pieces of the stock market, there are certain things that you would look for. And they can often be found in either mutual funds or exchange-traded funds so that you can even further reduce your risk. If you invest in individual stocks, there's a certain risk. If you invest in mutual funds and ETFs, they help lower that risk through the power of diversification. There are some mutual funds and exchange-traded funds that are designed exactly to be defensive, to be the most conservative piece of the stock market. And they generally share a couple traits. Number one, they generally look at companies that are very large, very well known. So they've got that financial stability. They look at companies that are very profitable. That makes sense. So that if there's a downturn in the economy, they can weather that downturn far better than a company that might be just barely turning a profit. And if they don't make a profit, they may go bankrupt. Large companies, well known, turning a substantial profit. And the next attribute that they often look for is high dividends. Because quite often a company that can afford to pay high dividends is essentially saying to you two things. Number one, we're wildly profitable, so much so that we can keep enough cash to keep our business growing and send out a great deal of it to you. There are funds in stocks of this type that are paying out 1.5%, 2.5% a year in pure dividends, just in cash flow. And then hopefully will grow as well. So the type of funds, the type of stocks that you would look for in the stock market if you wanted to be defensive, if you wanted to be in the quote-unquote most conservative part of the stock market, sounds like an oxymoron, truly isn't. If if you want to be in that piece of the stock market, those are the kinds of funds, those are the kinds of ETFs or kinds of stocks that you might look for. 2 minutes to go. I better go with one that's brief. I held one back. Can my husband's ex-wife claim his Social Security when he dies? The answer is, under certain circumstances, heck yes. Now, if I'm reading between the lines, there's a question in there that's not written, but it says, does that hurt my ability to claim if his benefits if he dies? And the answer is no. Is it possible to have multiple spouses, either ex or current, collecting benefits? The answer is yes. And the example that's often used, I guess, because he was so famous, Johnny Carson, apparently at one point had four ex-wives collecting his benefits. Goodness. Folks, on a dreary day, today's show went very, very quickly for me. I hope you learned a great deal. If you would like any advice on anything that you've heard on the show, all you have to do is request a second opinion meeting. Our financial advisors in the More Than Money World headquarters stand ready to assist you in any way that we are able. All you have to do is ask. You can send me an email, gene@askmtm.com, gene@askmtm.com. You can go on our website, morethanmoneyonline.com, morethanmoneyonline.com, and you can always call. That's easy. And over the weekend, leave a message or call Monday morning at 8:30 and talk to a wonderfully talented human being at 610-746-7007. 610-746-7007. We'll see you next time on More Than Money.